Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in the temple courts, he saw men selling cattle, sheep, and doves. And there were others sitting at tables changing money. So he made a whip out of cords, and he drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who were selling doves, he said, "Get those out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" And then the disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove to us that you have the authority to do all this?" "Destroy this temple," he said, "and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" But the temple he was speaking of was his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said, and then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem for the Passover feast, there were many who witnessed the miraculous signs that he was doing, and they believed in his name. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what is in a man. This is the gospel of our Lord.
The word of the Lord is the hope of the world. The word of the Lord is a priceless pearl. The word of the Lord is true, showing me what to do. The hope is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord forever will be. The word of the Lord giving life to me. The word of the Lord is true, showing me what to do. Forever will be new life in me. That's the word of the Lord. The hope of the world, a priceless pearl, is the word of the Lord. A lamp for my feet, a light to is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, I'm wondering if do you know what's in a hot dog? Do you want to know what's in a hot dog? Yeah, I don't really either, because I really like hot dogs. I'm going to have a couple for lunch later, and I really don't need to know what's in them. I like them. I feed them to my children and my grandchildren, you know. It's okay. So I decided I wasn't going to ruin hot dogs for you today, but How about Nutty Buddies? You like Nutty Buddies? Oh, they are delicious. Yeah, all that peanut butter. I like them. You know what's in a Nutty Buddy? The number one ingredient, dextrose. That's a sugar, isn't it? Yeah. And then there's peanut butter, and there's a little flour, and then there's, what in the world? Palm and soybean oils with TBHQ. Anybody here know what TBHQ is? Sounds like it's really nutritious. Yeah, when they only put the initials in and don't put the actual word in, I'm not so sure. Oh, and then we got soy, lecithin, and we got mono and diglycerides. They're in everything, so they must be really good for us. Yeah. What's in a Nutty Buddy? Well, you know, in our gospel lesson today, it reads that Jesus did not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. So what is in a human being? And I don't think we're talking anatomy here. We're not talking about liver and kidneys and lungs and things like that. We're talking about the inner spirit of a man. What is in what we would normally say, what's in the heart of a person? And it says Jesus knew what was in that heart, and so we want to flesh that out a little bit today. And the Old Testament lesson and the epistle lesson both sort of give us insight into that too. So we want to know what's on the inside. We've got a couple of youngsters over here. Do you know the Oreo song? You don't? You don't know that Oreo song? Oh, a kid'll eat the middle of an Oreo first and save the chocolate cookie outsides for last. You know that one? Well, you should know that. That's classic, right? All the old folks knew what I was talking about. How about this one? How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll on the inside of a Tootsie Pop? How many? Yeah, that's only because the owl never gets to four. He bites it first, so we'll never find out. Or how about that custard-filled donut you ate for breakfast? Right? You can't wait to get to the custard because we really want to get to what's on the inside. Yeah. Well, so does God. God wants to get to what's on the inside. You know, we can fool other people, and oftentimes we fool ourselves, but in the end, you cannot fool God because he sees what's on the inside, and that's what it says about Jesus. He knew what was inside a man. So the Old Testament lesson today lays out all the Ten Commandments. And you and I, as God's people, we want to keep the Ten Commandments. So my question this morning is, how many of those are you keeping, of those Ten Commandments? See, even out in the world, people that don't have anything to do with God at all, they keep some of the commandments some of the time. They don't do a very good job with the first three, but, you know, the fourth one about honoring your parents, see? It's possible for a non-Christian to honor their parents, certainly. And they may not hurt anybody physically, and they may not steal. And if their wives keep a good look on them, they may not even break the sixth commandment all that much. So they keep some of them, but I'm really not interested in them. I'm really more interested in you, since you're here in a Christian church today. So I'll ask again, how many of the commandments are you keeping perfectly? Isn't that the rub? You know, if I could keep them sometimes, part of the time, some of them, excuse me, but no, I can't say that I keep any of them perfectly, and that is what God's law requires. Now, understand something, and this is important. The Ten Commandments were never designed to get people to heaven. That was never God's design, because when God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, he knew what he was dealing with. He also knew what was in a man, and he knew that Those Israelites weren't going to be able to keep all Ten Commandments faithfully and perfectly. He knew that. So that was never God's intent to get you to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments or any of His laws. That's not its purpose. But it was its purpose to help clean up what's on the inside of a man. So at best, we give ourselves a pass and we say, I'm pretty good, and I'm certainly better than the person who's sitting to the right of me. And I just saw some wives look over at their husbands. And at worst, we love the evil that is in us. I read about St. Augustine. St. Augustine was one of the great heroes of Martin Luther. St. Augustine was a godly writer and one of the ancient fathers. But St. Augustine, in his book called Commentaries, told about when he was a kid, he and two other boys, in the dark of the night, snuck into a neighbor's garden and they stole pears off his pear tree. He went on to say, we didn't even like pears. We stole those pears, and as we were running away with the pears, we threw them out into the countryside because we didn't like pears. But he said, he had this to say about that event. He said, the malice of the act was base. I loved my own undoing. I loved the evil in me. And when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's me. That's you. Don't we love to tell our children and grandchildren some of our escapades when we were young? How we quietly rolled Grandpa's car down to the road and then drove it around for 2 hours and he didn't know. Or when we put a firecracker under a frog and we blew it up. I mean, don't we tell stories like that all the time? Ferber, I'm sure you did things in your childhood that you have. You know, it's sort of the perverse thing about us is that even though we know these things were wrong and bad and sometimes really bothered the old people that we were making fun of, we sort of treasure those things and say, well, you know, boys will be boys and girls will be girls, and don't you do things like that, we say. But that's the problem. That's what's in human beings, and Jesus knows that. Jesus was tempted in every way just as you and I were, yet he did not fall into those temptations, but he was surrounded by people who did. Every day he had people come to him that because of their sinful decisions had found themselves in some kind of misery. So Jesus knows what's inside a man, and he knows that sometimes we love the evil that is in us. It also tells us that when he did all these miracles there at Jerusalem, it says many people saw the miraculous signs he did and they believed in his name. Then what does it say? It says, but Jesus did not entrust himself to them. Why? Because he knew something about people. He knew people are fickle. He knows that these people came for the miracles, did not stay for the long run. That the first sign of trouble, they ducked and covered and ran off. So he didn't entrust himself to them. He knows what's in a man, what's in a woman, what's in a child. He knows what's in us. And yet the marvelous thing is, he loves us anyway. This episode took place just days before Jesus' arrest, his beating, his whipping, his crucifixion, his death. And he knew what was in a man, and he didn't run away. He found us valuable enough that he gave himself over into death. In the epistle lesson, St. Paul talks about what is real wisdom. What is real wisdom? St. Paul says, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. And evidently the Jews and the Greeks are still with us because that's how the world around us still is. They either want proof positive, they want a miracle. Everybody likes miracles, right? Problem is, miracles are like Lay's potato chips. You can never have just one. If you have one miracle, you want a second one, and if you get a second one, you want the third one. And the problem with miracles is that they're short-term answers to long-term problems in the first place. Oh, the people came for miracles, but when the trouble came, they were gone. And that's still the way it is in the world. There are people that hunt for miracles. They want proof. They want evidence. They want to know for sure. And if they're not on that side of the equation, they're on the other side, and they think all of this is foolishness. There are lots of people in the world who would say that what you and I are doing right now, what sitting here in church and teaching the kids to sing Christian songs and doing all this church stuff, that's foolishness. That's a waste of time. That's idiocy. Because God doesn't exist. Evolution answers all the questions. See, we still got that kind of thinking today. That's nothing new. There isn't anything new under the sun. And so for you and me, we turn our attention to what we hold dear. And what we hold dear is Christ and Him crucified. We're going to go with Jesus on Good Friday to the cross. We're going to listen to those seven words from the cross. We're going to see Jesus give up the ghost. And He's going to do it because He loves us. Because He knows what's in a man and knows that it left to our own devices, we're lost. That our eternity is going to be one of eternal separation from His Father. And so, Jesus, that cross, it's still a stumbling block to some. And for others, it's foolishness. But to you and I who believe, it is the very power of God. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He's the one that gives us hope. And so Scripture tells us these things. It tells us that, yeah, what's in a man? Sin, trouble, evil. And that we can't expunge that. We can't purify ourselves. We can't make ourselves right with God. We can, remember, make ourselves perfect. And so sin, left untreated, leads to death, and that leads to eternal condemnation, separation from God forever. And the only way to overcome that is with a sacrifice so sufficient that it pays for the sins of the whole world. And of course, that's the only one, is the Son of God hung on a cross, dying, taking our punishment, taking God's wrath on Him so it will not fall on us. And that by putting then our faith in Him and what He's done, then it's no longer about me being pure. It's about me trusting the purity of Jesus. And then we have a promise that Jesus becomes our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate that Jesus is the one who takes it for us. I read an article by a woman by the name of Nadia Bolds Weber. I don't think she's a Lutheran, but she's pretty close. Because I want to read you what she said. When I read it, I thought, this woman's got it figured out. She says, I think liberals tend to think admitting we are sinful is the same thing as having low self-esteem. And then conservatives equate sin with immorality. So one end of the church tells us that sin is an antiquated notion that only makes us feel bad about ourselves, so we should avoid mentioning it at all. Well, the other end of the church tells us that sin is the same thing as immorality and totally avoidable if you can just be a good, squeaky, clean Christian. Yet, when sin is boiled down to low self-esteem or immorality, then it becomes something we can control or limit in some way rather than something we are simply in bondage to. The reality is that I cannot free myself from the bondage of self, I cannot, by my own understanding or by my own effort, disentangle myself from self-interest. And when I think that I can, I'm basically trying to do what only God can do. She's got it right. She knows what's in a man. It's what Jesus knew too. There's sin in there. As much as I would like to get it out of there, it's a reality. It comes back to visit all the time. And I can't make myself right before God, not by what I do. So my only hope, your only hope, is to have a Savior who's given himself for us, who makes himself the offering, who says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. And he's not talking a building. He's talking a body. He's talking about Good Friday, and he's talking about Easter. He's talking about a sacrifice, and he's talking about life for all who believe. Amen.
May the angels protect you, trouble neglect you, and heaven accept you when it's time to go home. May you always have plenty, your glass never empty, know in your belly you're never alone. May your tears come from laughing, you find friends worth having, with every year passing they mean more than gold. May you win but stay humble, smile more than grumble, and know when you stumble you're never alone. Never alone, you're never alone. I'll be in every beat of your heart when you face the unknown. Wherever you will follow you, stay with you, because you're never alone. Well, I have to be honest, as much as I want it, I'm not gonna promise the cold winds won't blow. So when hard times have found you, your fear surrounds you, wrap God's love around you, you're never alone. Never alone, never alone. I'll be in every beat of your heart when you face the unknown. Wherever you
would you join me as we pray? Gracious Father, Holy Lord, your word tells us that Jesus did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. You see us for who we are and for what we are. We can hide our true selves from other people, but you see into our hearts and you know what's there. Sin and trouble and foolishness all too often. Only by your Holy Spirit's help and grace are we able to do your will. Help us to learn and to grow and to be more like Jesus. Fill us with his truth and with his joy. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of all healing, within our family of faith are those who have been wounded by grief, illness, or accident. We bring them before your throne to ask your help and compassion for them. Upon the death of her husband, Hugh, we pray for Sammy Day and her family, upon the death of her brother, Glenn Bud Sutter, And we pray, Father, that you be with Mark Warren and his family as they mourn the passing of his brother, Tommy Hunt. Father, we lift up all of these before you and pray that you would look upon them, that they might look to you and find strength and comfort in your word and in your promise. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for those that are ill. We pray for Mae Preter, Russell Abramski, Dan Bradford, and Ron Belden. We pray your help for Sandy Stewart, James Hill, and Mark Deerdorf. We ask you to watch over Dennis Hawkins, Betty Freeberg, Jean Sand, who undergoes surgery. We pray your help for Elmer and Mae Kleinstiver, for Jim Ferber and Paula Mayfield. We pray healing for Ramiro Ortiz, Kenny Fable, Joyce Shar, and Quinn Jones. We ask your hope for Bernie Dalem, for Shane Kessinger Ward, for Debbie Harbison and Richard. We pray that you would send to each of these your power and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, place your hand over our servicemen and servicewomen, that they may stand their watch in safety and with integrity. We pray that you would bless all first responders with discernment and courage, that they may make decisions that safeguard lives. Bless our legislators, our governor, and pray we bless our Congress, President Trump, and our courts with a godly vision, with wisdom, and with a right understanding and respect for our nation's best interests. Lord, in your mercy. Father, all of these things we lift up before your throne, trusting in your mercy through our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.
together the offertory. Would you join me as we pray? Gracious Father, Holy Lord, your word tells us that Jesus did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. You see us for who we are and for what we are. We can hide our true selves from other people, but you see into our hearts and you know what's there. Sin and trouble and foolishness all too often. Only by your Holy Spirit's help and grace are we able to do your will. Help us to learn and to grow and to be more like Jesus. Fill us with his truth and with his joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all healing, within our family of faith are those who have been wounded by grief, illness, or accident. We bring them before your throne to ask your help and compassion for them. We pray today for Patty Williams and her family upon the death of her mother, Dottie Clark. We pray for Patty Kress and her family upon the death of her husband, Hugh. We pray for Sammy Day and her family upon the death of her brother, Glenn Bud Sutter. And we pray, Father, that you be with Mark Warren and his family as they mourn the passing of his brother, Tommy Hunt. Father, we lift up all of these before you and pray that you would look upon them that they might look to you and find strength and comfort in your word and in your promise. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for those that are ill. We pray for Mae Preter, Russell Abramski, Dan Bradford, and Ron Belden. We pray your help for Sandy Stewart, James Hill, and Mark Deardorff. We ask you to watch over Dennis Hawkins, Betty Freeberg, Jean Sand, who undergoes surgery. We pray your help for Elmer and Mae Kleinstiver, for Jim Ferber and Paula Mayfield. We pray healing for Ramiro Ortiz, Kenny Fable, Joyce Shar, and Quinn Jones. We ask your hope for Bernie Dalem, for Shane Kessinger Ward, for Debbie Harbison and Richard Becht. And Father, that you'd watch over Terry Call, Willa Daniel, Denise Bear, and Joyce Shock, and all the others that we might lift up before you in our hearts. We pray that you would send to each of these your power and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, place your hand over our servicemen and servicewomen, that they may stand their watch in safety and with integrity. We pray that you would bless all first responders with discernment and courage, that they may make decisions that safeguard lives. Bless our legislators, our governor, and pray we bless our Congress, President Trump, and our courts with a godly vision, with wisdom, and with a right understanding and respect for our nation's best interests. Lord, in your mercy. And Father, we ask your continued blessing upon our preschool children, that they may continue to learn and grow and to learn about Jesus and about the world that you've made for us. We ask your blessing on their parents and their teachers, that they may continue to shape and to mold, to guide and to lead. Lord, in your mercy. Father, all of these things we lift up before your throne, trusting in your mercy through our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would the congregation please rise as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the Lord's benediction. Go forth now in peace, a redeemed, restored, and renewed child of the King, and the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with each of you and bless you. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing our final hymn together as the children find their places. They've all been crowned.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow me go down. Did e'er such love and sorrow me, oh, thorns compose so rich a crown. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. And bless your name. Would the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. And bless your name.
Once again, I greet you in the name of our risen Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, good to have all the school, preschool children and their parents with us. We thank you for bringing them. And for the kids, thank you for singing for us today. We always enjoy that a great deal. There's some things going on. A reminder that Grief Share and Pastor's Class will take place this afternoon at the regular